Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Thick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Full crew back today. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel L. Conan, Dennis Dick. Guys, I missed you. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm sorry I missed all the fun yesterday with Lordstown Motors, but I was listening to the show for a couple minutes, and you guys had enough fun without me. So good to be back here. We got a lot to talk about. Rotation. That's the theme of today's show. We saw a movement yesterday into big tech. Looking at you, Apple. Looking at you. Where's it going today? That's the question. That's what we'll talk about. Our guest today, Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads and SellSpreads.com. He will join us at 8:35. Talk options, setups, that whole thing. Hit that like button. If you haven't already, hit subscribe. We appreciate all the likes and subscriptions. And Joel, good morning to you. How was your Monday and weekend, I guess? And how are we doing this morning in the markets?
Good. Everything's good here and, on my front. S&P's late day rally yesterday. We don't see that too often, but added a good 23 points off that low. We're in the green by 375. Didn't spend much time under the close. The old-time closing high, 45.75. I'll be keeping on that, as well as the pre-market low, 43.25. We're about 8 points off that pre-market high at 42.58.25. And if I said I had a level there, I'd be lying. We've never been up there. And let's see if we can get back up to that area. Another big day for crude oil market. I guess Iran threatened some supplies going down. So less supply, equal demand. And you got to rally up $1.02.70. 192. Gold, volatile day yesterday, showing weakness here, getting away from 1900, but it's up $1, 1866.90. Silver in the red by 27 cents to 27.77. Bitcoin trying to make that $40,000 level support instead of resistance, up $425, 40,135. And Ethereum, it's getting off the mat here a little bit. That's up 57 bucks at 2,601. Triple D, I mean, rotation we can talk about. We can talk about those other things that everyone wants to talk about. But what are you seeing on your radar and your filters here this morning?
It's a weird day today. And that being said, obviously very quiet. SPY has been pretty quiet here too this morning. You're seeing some of those oil stocks trade a little bit higher, but it's mixed. Some of the banks are trading a little bit weaker here. You had a lot of rotation yesterday, and serious rotation, like you were teasing off the hop there, Spencer. Mega caps, mega cap tech got some money. They were hammering banks. They were hammering some of the transports. Did not have a good day. So it was a very interesting day. Tech remains in favor here now. QQQs make a new all-time high yesterday. They're back. I don't know. Very interesting rotation.
What do you think? And let's just talk about the Fed meeting. It's a two-day meeting. The street, the world, everyone, he wants Pump and Paul to start to taper, take rates up. And I'm looking, you know, I try and give bullish and bearish scenarios, you know, for these events. And it's kind of hard. I mean, whatever happens, it's going to be bullish, right? Because everything is bullish. But if they do say we're going to taper, or we're going to look to, you know, reduce that, you know, the buying and or, you know, step up the reduction in buying the bonds and everything, they're going to hit the market. And then if they don't do everything, they're going to say, oh, they're still doing any, you know, they're not doing anything. We're going to get crushed. But the banks are acting like that. The TLT is getting off the low. So I think you just got a lot of people just focusing on that Fed meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, but again, do we really think they're going to do anything extreme? I think the banks are selling off because they're thinking, well, the Fed's hands are still tied. I don't think they're going to do as much as everybody thinks they do. I mean, if the banks are selling off, they're saying that rates, you know, if we thought rates, they were going to start to get a little biased that, hey, we may raise rates, you know, later this year or next year, banks would be going up ahead of this. But banks are selling off ahead of this. So that's kind of a tell that I don't think Pump and Powell stops pumping as much as everybody thinks he's going to.
Yeah, that's a great. I agree. I mean, if you look at the TLT, I mean, it's hard to get excited about this. I mean, we know they're not going down, right? You can't go any lower than, you know, get off the negative rate talk. But if you talk about technical formations, just you found a lot of support pre-pandemic in this, you know, 135 area. You found support there. You finally got you're getting some green candles, but it's like, you know, nothing to write home about. You did clear that monthly resistance at 141. So I don't know. It's just a tough trade. I mean, if they decide that, yeah, they get aggressive, then boom, you're going to be right back at that low of the move. What's the low of the move? 133.19. It's a rally in the TLT and the bonds, but certainly nothing to get excited about.
And Zippity Doodah making a good point. There was news out of JP Morgan yesterday. They were saying that the trading revenue wasn't very good. I'm not surprised because it was slower. We know when the VIX comes in, trading revenue at the big banks, at the trading firms, comes in to a certain extent. Comes in for me as well. I'm totally related to the VIX. My P&L is not related to anything else besides the VIX. VIX going up, I'm making more money. VIX going down, I'm making less money because most of these banks are trading on spreads, inefficiencies, similar to what I'm doing. Although I'm not a market maker, I'm still, when there's more movement, there's more inefficiencies. So there's more, you know, for startup traders, for quants, for market makers, just as the VIX goes up, there's more opportunities. So you have seen the VIX come in. I mean, we're sitting here at 16. It was actually been a couple of quiet months, really, in the overall market. We've been talking about SPY. It doesn't move. I mean, we've, in the last, like, two, three weeks, look at the SPY. Look at the movement. It is very, very quiet. I mean, that is tight ranges, Joel. And maybe we're just, you know, grinding our way higher here, but you know, the market wants direction, but there's been a lack of interest, what we've talked about too in the mega caps. You know, obviously SPY is made up of the main 10 companies. You know, what is it, the top, you know, 30 or something make up the majority of, and the Q is the same thing. I mean, it's made up of obviously the big mega caps. And we've been talking about the Reddit trade. And money has been flying into just a few small select names and bouncing them around, obviously led by AMC, but there's been a number of others. So as you see, the mega caps just don't have interest. They're just not moving.
Until yesterday.
Not good for the big banks.
Until yesterday. yesterday. Let's talk about this. I mean, that was your leadership. It was the tech. They finally put the money. I mean, Apple, I took it off because it was a 24-day trading range between 122 and 128 and a half. Going back all the way here. And, I mean, I looked at the news. I mean, they talk about some new things that they were developing, and I don't know what happened at that event over the weekend. But I was looking, you know, when the SPOOs were still down 5 or 6, I'm looking at Apple. That's up $2. I'm looking at Microsoft. That's up. I'm looking at Amazon, Google, Facebook. On the other hand, you know, the smaller components of the index, Berkshire Hathaway in the red, J&J flat, JP Morgan in the red. So
it's you rotation did, all yeah, the time. Yep. Rotation. We used to be able to trade it, you know, and you know I do some of the index arb. We used to be able to like go with the flow, and there would be all the stocks. We'd see days where all the stocks are up and all the stocks are down. You never see that, not in the last few months. It's like banks are up, tech is down, banks are up, and the industrials and the transports and the value trade. We've seen days where QQQ's ripping and IWM's dipping. It's been rotation, and this is where the money has been made, is identifying that rotation, you know, early in the day, like the day trading money, the 24-hour money. If you can get ahead of that rotation, it's worked very well. I mean, think about how much they were selling the Cathy stocks a month ago, and we were identifying that Cathy wasn't making new lows back when ARKK was $100, and we could see in some of her individual holdings that they were starting to catch bids. Well, it's been a 3-week rotation back into Cathy stocks, back into you know, the higher growth tech names. And it's been a 3-week rotation really where you haven't seen, like, Nucor was up and up and up and up. Well, look, it's gone nowhere. And I'm long Nucor still, but it's gone nowhere for the last month and a half. U.S. Steel had a horrible day yesterday. I'm long. I sold half of it actually in the morning, which was a good sale. I should have sold it all. Cleveland Cliffs gives it back. You can just see that just the rotation. So when you have a really good day in Apple and Microsoft and Google and Facebook, you have a really bad day in some of the, you know, the commodity trades, even like U.S. Steel and Nucor, and the banks were having a bad day. This market is all about rotation, more so than I probably have seen in a long time.
When you say a long time, you mean like 12, 13, 14 months. That's what you mean.
Or even years, like this really? Much rotation, because like I've traded index arb for, you know, I don't even know how long, probably, you know, like if you went through my trading career, we never really did this. You know, I used to trade, everybody starts small caps, you know, smaller stocks back in 1999, 2000. I was trading a lot of little small cap stocks. They were fun. And then I kind of moved into mega caps. And I actually moved into, like, you know, different types of arbitrage, statistical arbitrage. But yeah, you know, I've always kind of dabbled in the index arb where you're in and rotation, you know, and trading, you know, the rotation. But I can just tell you from what I see, and maybe it's selective perception, I don't remember this defined rotation so much in a long time, like years, I'm thinking, where you're seeing, oh, we got tech ripping, they're going to sell the banks. I mean, really, is there really that much correlation there that, you know, tech is strong? Are we really that concerned? I get it. You know, the banks want higher interest rates. Tech definitely does not want higher interest rates. I get that. But are interest rates really going anywhere? Probably not, but that's what the market does. So that rotation continues to be where you're making money if you can identify it early.
And on that note, because Joel had the JP Morgan chart up there, you guys were talking about that. Jamie Dimon said, hey, we've got $500 trillion in cash just chilling, waiting to invest it when we get higher rates. And then the other side of that coin about the Fed is – there's a even if I told you, hey guys, tomorrow the Fed's going to signal that they may start raising rates in the next year or two, whatever. If I told you that, how would you wouldn't even know what to do with that information? Is if I said they're going to do that, is that good or bad for bonds or good or bad for stocks? You wouldn't even know. Nobody would even know.
It's a tough market to just take the information at face value and say it does this, because you're right, Spencer. Sometimes they do the exact opposite of what you think they should do on the information. Honestly, like we've talked before, this market trades simplistic at times, but then it just trades like ignorant, where it just doesn't even care about certain information. So I just keep looking at the situation. Do you really think we're going to go into a rising interest rate environment where they start jacking rates everywhere? Do we really think that's going to be, we really think Pump and Powell is going to turn off the, you know, turn it all off. Let's start raising rates. Let's tighten up. Let's fight inflation.
Can't.
They basically said, They can't, and they basically said they're not going to. They say it's transitory. Can they, you know, slow down the printing press? Sure. They can slow down the printing press a little bit. Are we ever getting into an environment where they're going to start jacking rates? I mean, we're in an inflationary environment right now, and they're not even they're making excuses for the inflation. So that's telling me the tea leaves are really saying, and the tech move and even the bank move recently is telling you, I don't think they're going to say too much tomorrow that's going to spook, you know, the market and say, holy cow, we're going to a rising interest rate environment. I think they just try to keep the markets as calm as they can. And I think that's why we're starting to break out to new highs, because I think the market's calling Powell or calling that they're not going to, you know,
that's
turn
what
off
he's
the
been
printing
saying.
Imminently.
That's what he's been saying.
I know. He has been saying it. And we're not listening. And maybe we should be listening. The market is listening. Selling off the banks ahead of the Fed meeting. And maybe it's going to be an overshoot. And, you know, and often we do see these snapback rallies. And is it a buying opportunity for some of the banks? They're cheap, man. Maybe. Maybe it is a buying opportunity. You know, JP Morgan gets down to 150. Great level. Have your levels. I mean, it's still all about rotation. So, you know, if you're going like this and we kind of been going nowhere and we're just trending like this, that U.S. steel, I've done it a few times where I'm buying, you know, I've been buying down at 22, 23 and selling up at 26, 27, just on swing trades there, keeping a little bit of a core position, but, you know, just playing those moves. And I think that continues to work. I think you're still buying dips and selling rips because really overall, we're not flying higher and we're not, you know, getting killed here either. So I think we're just range bound, even though the markets are making new highs, a lot of stocks are range bound.
Yeah, volatility, you mentioned that. That's just been coming in. The daily ranges have been coming in, you know, setting up. Interesting week with the Fed meeting and then the Quad Witch on Friday. So a lot of, you know, jockeying for position ahead of that. But what we've seen, you know, in the past, I mean, the Quad Witch has gone in favor of the trend, and the trend is strong, is up here. There's no denying that. So we'll see, we'll see what kind of fireworks you get on Wednesday and Friday and maybe be a little bit range bound today, but still holding on to the gains up 4.5, 42.50 and a quarter. Do you want to drill down on any of the big tech that moved yesterday?
Let's do it. I mean, at least they're showing life. I'm long them all. We know I'm long them all. I've been long them all. I stay in long them all, but Amazon, Microsoft. The only one I don't own, I believe, of all the big ones is Facebook. And I wanted to own Facebook, and I did for a while, and I probably should have bought on that pullback to 300, hindsight capital. 2020, once again, Facebook breaking out to new highs, too. But I don't know. Is there anyone you want to pick on individually? We talked Apple already.
Yeah, Apple we talked about. I mean, that's coming in. It had some highs in the 131 handle and then a gap fill up to 131.83. So we'll see if it slows it down. Microsoft, I think it was the gap down on earnings. You know, we talk about gaps being filled. Look at that. From the earnings day gap, 260.12. You got there yesterday. Oh, almost 259.95. So the only thing you have besides that is the all-time high. We talked about Amazon perking up, you know, getting out of the trading range. Got to work into two red bars here off earnings. Look at this Google chart. Look at this thing. I mean, just it ain't going down. You got three highs in the same area. Let's call it, you know, 52.29. But look at the ranges in Google. I mean, it's still probably decent, you know, still a 50-point range, but nothing. And then Facebook, this is, I mean, maybe you got a seller here, but it's like three highs in the same area. I mean, I remember when it backed up at 250. I don't know if I could show that formation here, but you're certainly not getting any, you know, any kind of, you know, stalling out now as far as the pattern. Tesla is the interesting one. It's trying, but just, you know, inching its way up. That hasn't been as volatile. I'm looking for it to break above these three highs here, the top one, 635. So they're moving. It's just grinding higher, right? Except for the Apple, the one that had to did the explosion. But like I said, 24 day trading range, 122.5, 128.5. That's why you got the move off that.
I still look at a lot of these stocks and think, are we blasting off? Is this, you know, the consolidation in Apple to take us to 200 eventually? I don't think so. I'm long Apple. I just wonder if this still isn't the environment where you're writing options and you're bringing in premium. Let's give a shout out to my buddy Bruce, who writes the Amazon straddle every week. He writes it every single week. And
what about last week? Did you talk to him this week? Because last week?
And maybe, you know, he's right and he gets assigned. but it turns around and comes back down, and then, you know, it gets out again. So if you're looking at Amazon, he's been doing it for the last year. You could not have picked a better stock to be writing straddles in than Amazon. 3,000 to 3,500 for almost a year now. Almost 1 year. And they're still giving you premium. I mean, the premium's been sucked in from where it was. But I'm just looking, you know, let's just look at this week. And there's only 3 days left on it, so maybe it's a better, but maybe it's a better play to look at next week. But when you're just looking at these straddle prices here,
they're huge. I
mean, yeah, they're still good. Even this week, which expires literally, if I'm looking correctly here, I'm just grabbing my options chain. And obviously we're looking at it, they're not open now, so we're looking at yesterday's closing prices. But options expiring, this is just this week, so the 18th. So we're talking, you know, four more trading days if we're counting today.
30, you're gonna go 3380 or 3380.
Yeah, 3380. You're getting $30, you're getting $60. They'll give you $55-$60 a week to write the straddle. So you think about that. If you were getting $60 a week for the last year, 60 times five, you basically, you know, the stocks went nowhere and you basically just took in, that's a lot of money. 60 times 52 weeks. You're talking about $3,100 in premium. He just got the entire Amazon price in premium. If, and maybe, you know, it's been sucked in a few times there, but there was some good premium there too. I know he was messaging me and saying on the earnings, you know, it gets up to like $150. So I don't know, man. That has been one of the most consistent strategies. And obviously, if Amazon starts breaking out and goes up, you know, 1,000 points in a couple of weeks, you really get hammered in that strategy. But, you know, back if you
maybe
were doing
this back
in April.
Off. Yeah, maybe it'll back off.
And maybe you work and you got to work out the rest. But I'll tell you right now, that's been one of the most consistent strategies is just writing premium in Amazon. And, you know, and probably a lot of those mega cap stocks. You don't want to do it in the small caps, because, but in the mega caps,
yeah,
it's been working. It's been working. Straddle writers have been getting paid for a long time. There's a lot of people who keep buying lottery tickets on Amazon, and those lottery tickets keep expiring worthless.
And you're not picking a direction, or you're not making it, you're like, you're just betting on other people to be wrong. And then you have time just like go, you know, if it goes up, it just, they erodes. I mean, you see some of these on these weeklies, some of the in the money options, you know, the stock, you know, moves, you know, maybe Amazon, but like Apple, like, you know, probably the 130 calls moved yesterday, but, you know, it moved up from, you know, 127 and a half to one, the pitch of the calls, they don't go up nearly as much. I mean, just because they have a lot baked in and it just erodes. So you've got to have a decent size account, you know, to do that. And you have to, you know, you have to go against the risk. You have to measure the risk versus the reward. And then, you know, kind of, you know, maybe switch to another stock. Maybe, you know, this was the time for Amazon, but, you know, there's other stocks. But you look at this trading range.
Been working in the queues too, Joel. I mean, if you think about really 2021, okay. Well, yeah, we're 310, 344, not working as well. But we were 300 on the queues back in September, which is 9 months ago. We're 344 now, so we are up. But I don't know. I bet you if you bring in premium, I bet you you're still making money even though it's went up on you. Buying dips and selling rips.
A couple people have now have asked about, well, if the rotation is coming into tech, it's got to go out of somewhere. What about Caterpillar? Dennis, you mentioned the transport.
Coming out.
You can look at XLI, really, but you can look at Caterpillar. You can look at the transports. You can look at, like, 3M. Money's coming out. 3M a little bit less so. But, like, Caterpillar is then Deere.
Look at that. Cat goes splat. Look
clear, clear rotation, clear. You know, Amazon, it's not coincidental that Amazon has five up days in a row, basically five up days in a row, and Caterpillar has five down days in a row. These stocks move opposite to each other, complete opposite to each other. You have been seeing these clear rotational trends. The algos are trading them this way, and then the algos start changing it up. And that when the algos are, you know, identifying rotation, it becomes more pronounced because there's more momentum traders getting on one side. And obviously, just identifying that rotation, like, it's crazy to think, well, Amazon's up, I better sell my Caterpillar. But that's this market right now.
And Boeing, exactly right, guys. It's the same thing.
Well, I have Las Vegas Sands, you know, and I have the barbell approach going in my long-term portfolio. So that just means it doesn't go anywhere. Because you get some tech stocks going up and you get the other ones going down. I put Las Vegas Sands. Well, that's not doing good for me. But my Amazon's doing great for me right now. Maybe this barbell approach sucks, Joel. It just means your count doesn't move.
Yeah, barbell dumbbell.
I'll write some straddles on Dennis's account.
There you go.
Joel, can you give some levels on Caterpillar? People want to know.
Oh, Jesus, Murphy. I know. Well, wow. It's hard. Oh, wait, how many? Wow. How many lower?
It's hard to be a seller here now, Joel. You're kind of in the middle of nowhere. I like that low back in March, the 208, but that's 10 bucks down from here. Is it getting that low? I think I'd be a buyer in the low 200s.
I mean,
I think I would come in and be a buyer of Caterpillar. I think you're getting to a point where, okay, let's get our orders ready just in case it gets stupid.
I don't think that's another thing, too, is,
you know, you can always put your order out there. It doesn't cost you money to have your order out there. And sometimes you just get some crazy moves, and you're like, boom, you get your price. And you're like, oh, I bought that down there. Have your levels. I think low 200s. I'd be a buyer Caterpillar.
Yeah, I don't think you're coming here on this trip, though.
Probably not. It's probably too far.
Yeah, and I've just drew this line across here, 216.35, because I see three other lows in that area, right? And this string, this is of lower highs and lower lows and lower closes. I mean, this one was a little bit different. I mean, those things don't persist forever. And the other thing about this one, why it looks kind of perky to me, is you did make a new low for the move, but you came back and you settled in the upper portion of the range and you're trading up a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, leading on it here, I wanted, you know, if I'm taking a shot at 219, 220, you know, I'd lean on that low from yesterday. You know, and say, okay, get a swing trade, look for a kind of retracement. I think you could. It'd be more fun to look at this at 221.97. That was the high from yesterday. Like, the highs have really come down. Let it show some strength to you. Let it take out the previous day's high and go. But, I mean, there's enough lows in this area here for me to – if I was short, I would be like, oh, man, did I miss covering at 216, 217?
If you're short and it just dropped 20 bucks in four trading 20, sessions more on than, no yeah. news – But in the last four, we were 240 to 219, so I'm rounding here to $1. I mean, that's a good move. I mean, I always get out too early. You know, I exit the trades too early, but I'd usually – I don't get caught holding the bag as much either. Sometimes I overstay my welcome.
There's reference points here.
I'm usually out too early.
Yeah.
I'd probably bring it in at this point in time.
Yeah.
If I was short. Am I going long? Probably not. Not yet. Deer is another one. We know Caterpillar moves with deer. I've pair traded these two stocks against each other for 20 years. They still work well together. The cat, obviously, a little more pronounced, the sell-off, than the deer. But deer is leaking here, too. Get down to that 320 where we broke out from back in February. Starts to look interesting. I mean, this thing just kissed to $400. And all of a sudden, a month later, you're going to get her for a 20% discount here. So I think a deer and Caterpillar. I know people don't like being a contrarian. They don't like, you know, coming in. This is how, you know, I've approached my longer-term portfolio for a long time. Like Lockheed Martin, you know, I picked that up when everybody was hating it, and it had sold off significantly, went from like 450, and I got it at 330. I took some heat and went down to 319. It's back at 389 now. So that's the way I do my long-term trading. Short-term, it's all just, you know, if I can identify the rotation, then obviously it's a different story, but short-term trading, it's hard to go against the momentum.
And the other thing, just like with the cat here, I mean, look at the green monthly candles here, right? Look at the succession. I mean, I don't know, almost every month up. Now you got a red candle, a pretty big red candle. Who says this doesn't grind between 215 and 235 or between 205 and 240 after? Look at this period of consolidation that you had between – for like 2 years.
They don't usually bounce right back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one thing to consider too. Do you have to be early? Do you have to be the first buy? Do you have to get in it today? You usually get more than one chance when these things are coming down. I often like to buy the retest. Like when I was picking up some of these, you know, momentum names that we were picking up a month ago, some of the tech momentum names, even like a Fubo, I wasn't picking the bottom on that and saying, okay, was this cheap enough? I'm going to buy it. And the ones that I did do that were not good purchases. But I waited for the consolidation station. And if you look, when I struck on Fubo was when it was holding that 20. It had three, four lows in the same area. It was at the consolidation station. I'm like, I'll lean on the 20.
and I'll get a look at the upside. Now I sold 25 because it went up 3 days later, and I was like, 20% of my money in 3 days, I take it. Obviously continue to go higher. Again, I get out too early, but you know, that's, you know, where I had defined risk. I wasn't trying to buy it when it was going straight down. I waited for it to stop going down, find a period of consolidation, and then strike. You know, recently with the Workhorse, when I bought that one at 10, again, selling it too early. But, you know, there was a little bit where I thought just short squeeze trade was going to start too. Bed Bath & Beyond. This is what the market's all about. It shows you its hand every once in a while. It gives you a, like a little glimpse of what it's going to do. And it lags. People take a little while to figure it out. If you can figure it out before the next guy, you got a shot. The reason I went and bought all those short squeeze stocks 2 weeks ago was because, not because of AMC and GME. It was when they jacked Bed Bath & Beyond that day. They took Bed Bath & Beyond. You can see the ridiculous candle from $27 up to like $44 one day. When it went from 27 to 35, I was like, they're going to start grabbing every stock again like they did back in January that has a short interest. And that's when I went and bought Workhorse. And that's when I bought Clover. And I bought 25 stocks that were high short interest that day. We talked about it. I even tweeted about that. I said high short interest stocks are going to start to catch a bit. Go back, find that tweet. I tweeted it that morning. And I mean, they continued. Obviously, I sold all of them way too soon. But they were all good trades. I mean, I made 30% on Workhorse in a day. I made something like 25% on Clover in a day. Do I wish I would have held my Clover? I had no idea it was going to be able to go to 26. I took it from 8 to 10. I thought it was doing really good. It went from 8 to 27. So I sold way too early. But that's okay. You know, you don't have to, you know, maybe that's a problem. Maybe. But a lot of times, you know, I sell. If you sell too late, sometimes you don't make anything at all. So I'm not chasing. You're looking for those, you know, those tip-offs where the market tips you a little bit. Bed Bath & Beyond was a tip. It gave you the whole market a tip that they were going to start grabbing those stocks. And that's what, you know, you're trying to identify, and that's where you can grab some alpha.
All right. We got some data. Give us some data here, Spencer. PPI, retail sales, the Empire State Index, they all kind of weak, except the PPI was a little bit stronger. Why don't you give us those numbers?
Retail sales a little bit lower than expected, down 1.3% in May versus a consensus estimate that it would be down 0.6%. So,
We're going red here. They don't like that data. We're up 3/4 of a handle now, 12 points off the high. So we're leaking here. Looks like we're going to go red pretty soon.
Yeah, PPI was in line. Core PPI month over month was higher than expected. But yeah, I mean, I don't know the last time we've ever talked about the Empire State Manufacturing Index.
I just saw it when I was like,
you know, it is what it is. I before we move on from the rotation discussion, if we're going to talk about rotation, we should at least mention the best performing sector over the last month, which is real estate. XLRE is the top performing sector in the S&P. You can look at that. You can look at some of the top holdings in XLRE, like American Tower, right? Crown Castle, CCI, Public Storage, Simon Property. Right, Prologis. These are the biggest names and the biggest weightings in that ETF in that sector. And this is the best sector in the S&P 500 in the last month.
Even better than energy, huh?
Yeah.
But if you're coming in now, like look at this Prologis move. I mean, this is from $95. You know, you're talking, these are REITs.
Yeah,
you know, that pay decent dividends and typically don't have big moves. These are big moves for these.
Help me on that symbol, folks.
PLD?
Prologis? Oh, okay, yeah. PLD?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you go 95 to 125 in 3 months. That's a huge move. Spencer, you're absolutely right. These are huge moves, these stocks. It's been trend. There hasn't been any violent upswing. Like, it hasn't been like, oh, we ripped 5, 10 bucks in a day. Just been this slow, steady climb. And I guess, you know, you take your Jeff Mackey purple crayon, but look at that top left chart. You know, you can say, oh yeah, the top right chart that Joe's showing, you know, is a nice trend, but that is out of the ordinary for a stock, a REIT, to have that kind of move. So it makes me think that, you know, if I was long this thing, I'd probably be looking at it this time maybe, you know, I guess the top left chart, but they really moved.
Top right, or yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a huge move for REITs. It's a bottom left chart. I've got the glaucoma vision. I can't see these four
charts. Yeah, you got your glasses on?
I got my glasses on. I got to get a stronger prescription, I think, here.
You need a new strip.
It's been a big move. Bottom line, it's been a really big move for Prologis, an out of the ordinary move that they move this much. They typically don't move this much. So this is, I think if I'm in those, I'm booking some profits.
126, folks. Keep an eye on that today. Last three sessions, 26.32, 26.18, 26.17. You're flat on the session right now. And 120, wow, this is quiet. 126 to 124. If you want to try and sell on strength, look like you got a seller at 126. If you want to sell on weakness, last three lows will spitball at 124. This is kind of light, man. This thing only traded 125K yesterday. Holy mackerel. That is not an active stock at all. Spoo's bounce off the close right now, 2.25, just as I predicted it would go red and buy the dip. The 2.25, we'll see. Interesting. They took the data, hit a little bit, but bouncing right back. Mid-range on the session, 51, 42. 51.
If you're interested in that retail sales number by category, looks like the strongest category last month was clothing sales, up 3%.
Hell yeah. People need to buy new clothes.
Weakest building materials, down almost 6%. Probably supply chain problems there. And then Easy Mike noting that American Tower, it goes ex-dividend next week. If you're in that read space, know that. Okay, it's 8:35. Let's bring on today's guest, Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads and sellspreads.com. Joins us every other Tuesday. Nick, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you guys. Fun show so far.
I have some thoughts and some things we're talking about. Let me bring up your caterpillar chart here and you can
So the cat thing, I would sit tight in it. I drew this stupid whatever harmonic or whatever you call that. I was practicing with it, but I saw one push. This is a monthly chart, so it's super long term, right? There was one big push and then a consolidation period, which is okay to go downwards a little bit, and then another big push and even bigger. But if you consider just the rally from the pandemic low, the 50% Fibonacci is way below where it is. So if I'm taking conviction longs, this would not be the dip I would buy. So I tried to buy the dip in Caterpillar as a trade by selling puts and put spreads on a bad day. There's no premium there. So this is the stock I would not use that strategy with. So I was listening to your Amazon friend selling the straddle. That's pretty good. But like you said, it needs a big account to do that. So you can modify it a little bit. So the premium are big enough to maybe somebody can buy 100 shares by selling one put. But then the selling the call is just ridiculously scary in this market, given what's going on in Reddit. So what I would do is I would modify it a little bit, you know, sell the straddle-ish and like buy a sacrifice call above it to like limit your upside shit moment. So that you can still make some money in that strategy, but not completely blow your account out, because that's just ridiculously risky right now to sell anything exposure unlimited. Because when you sell a call, you have unlimited risk to the upside. You're losing money for as long as the price is rallying and you can't cover.
You rarely just do that, like just sell the straight. You always like protect yourself. I mean, you got the site sell spreads, right? But
right. No, so. I do sell on the bond. If I believe in a company, like if somebody loves Apple and they would absolutely own it at said price, you can sell that with confidence, because that's what you want. You sell the put to own the share. Yeah. So you're almost saying, give me the shares.
Yeah.
You mentioned Facebook earlier. So you're not too late if you're trading Facebook. You've got a couple of failures above you now, which would be the triggers. So I would set an alert. I mean, you know how to do it. But I think if they take out the recent fail at June 8th, whatever it was in the morning, the pre-open maybe, or at the open, that would be a trigger up, maybe. Depends on the environment and the market. So this is it. You saw the close yesterday. It was
strong.
What? You know, 12 million shares in the Apple last scandal. Yeah. Like, where did that come from? On a Monday, you know? So that was a little strange. So you have to be tactical in this. You cannot be strategic to where, okay, this is my entry point. If you pull up the S&P chart, like a monthly chart, on what planet is this a starting point for setting up a whole portfolio? You just can't. You have to be tactical about it. That's my opinion. So but tactical meaning you trade more than you invest in this environment. It's like the meme trading is spreading and infecting everybody. We have to do it.
I think you're spot on. I think this has been, like, I look at my long-term investment portfolio and it's kind of just sitting there, but my trading portfolio has been doing really well because we've had lots of opportunity where you've got, you know, buying the dip and selling the rip, and there's been a lot of, you know, chop. And it's been, you know, and obviously not maybe in some of these AMC GameStop stocks, but, you know, it's been a trader environment where contrarians have been doing pretty good.
Yeah, and, you know, there are some pretty good opportunities in the meme stocks if you're, but I think you have to get in those rooms, because if you don't, you're on the outs with them. Yeah. You're on the outs with the hedge funds, you're screwed. You're like the little person out there that knows nothing on either side. There's a war going on and you're right in between of it. But meanwhile, there are a lot of trading opportunities. Like that Amazon range trade was fine. Iron condors worked fine. And then one day it didn't, because it shot up 3 or 4 days in a row. And that was an incredibly exciting rip. So the giga caps haven't taken their move like the rest, so we could still leap a lot higher from here, but you can't take conviction long. So you have to be like, you have to wear the trader mentality within your investing portfolio.
Is there anything on your radar right now, like that you're looking? Because we just made new highs on the SPY. We just made new highs on the Qs. Right. I mean, Caterpillar looks sloppy, but you know, what are you looking at that, you know, maybe is going to participate in this next leg up if we get a leg up?
I love to buy dips on good things. So if I see a good stock falling into support, like you guys were looking for entry points in Caterpillar. I did that on the bad day. And I just couldn't find anything I can sell and be worth my effort, because I didn't see a clear floor. You mentioned the low 200s. I saw 198, but then I zoomed out and I was like, wait a minute. I'm going to get
it. It's come a long way. So, this was a $100 stock a year ago. So.
Right. So I got out of that idea. So we have been, like last time I was here, I said I was long the TLT and we got paid the same day. So that was really good entry point. But the TLT may have a second leg up depending on what happens with the rhetoric today, this week, with what Powell says. After, you remember, they released this statement, the stock market moves up and down on that, and then he reads the statement, and for some reason it also moves up and down on that, which is
the same thing.
And then the important bits come when he's off script and they start saying things. So last time he almost messed up by saying, well, you know, one hot jobs report won't do it, but how many will? And he almost said a number. So maybe he will say a number this time and freak everybody out. But anyway, so we bought some dips in Zoom. We range traded Lyft with credit put spread and credit call spread. That worked. Yesterday, the credit call spread got into hot water if somebody didn't close it when it was 6 cents to close. We traded the dollar, paid a little bit, but not a lot. The UUP trade is really disgusting. Spotify, we caught a decent trade on that. Hua, I think I'm pronouncing that right. We took a bearish trade in the SPY. Debit put spread, very soft way to, quote, short the market in case something happens at like 422.5. That cost $2. Yesterday it was up a little bit. This morning it will probably be down a little bit. But it's for balance in somebody's portfolio. So the easy way to create balance if you're worried about some downside scenario is to just either sell a call spread in the SPX with, like, give some room. So usually I would collect a dollar on a risk of $5. So 25% yield if you succeed. But that's its job is to die. But if the stock market drops, then you get some cover on your longs somewhere else. So this is the kind of stuff I've been trying to share, because you have to be responsible with it. I shorted CVX. I think I said it here last time. That played out. I was short Bank of America. I closed it after a little bit of gains. I left Goldman Sachs short to play out. That played out really well. So I have some Goldman Sachs short still, but very little, with house money-ish. So I would close it if I see it turn around technically. But right now, I still favor the downside for a little bit. But
what kind of premiums you seeing headed into the quad witch? It just seems like things are just overall just pretty quiet here.
Well, the Goldman Sachs thing, I was playing a specific setup, and I paid, I forgot the premium. But what I did is I sold the call spread and bought a put. And then I closed the call spread for almost maximum gains. So now I have money in my pocket. It was like 90 cents from the call spread. And then I sold a put against my long put, kind of turned it into a diagonal, but now I'm left with another one. So I sold it again. So it's a complicated way of reducing my out-of-pocket expense. So now I'm like I'm barely paid anything for the split that I'm long for July at 350. So I'm sitting in it. I don't want it to go to 350, but if it has another whoosh lower, I can make my trade a little bit hotter. So this is a specific little weakness in the chart that I saw, and it's playing out almost verbatim to how I tick for tick to how I played it, drew it. So I'm confident with it. And if it doesn't work out, I didn't risk much.
Let's talk a stock that's moving right now here, Nick. They're all talking about it in the chat. DKNG Hindenburg just came out with a report here entitled DraftKings, a $21 billion SPAC, betting it can hide its black market operations. And DKNG just got hammered on this report that just came out. It's down $3 right now at 47.5.
I guess I'll be selling puts or put spreads today. Yeah.
do you come in like you see this whoosh? Like we had a bad day for DraftKings yesterday ahead of this report.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we're having a bad day again for DraftKings. So we're down basically 15% in 2 days in DKNG here. Is this something you look at, you know, this is hard enough that I'm going to get some premium here and, you know, write some puts?
I would do a trade against three different levels. Depends on the speed of the trade. Depends on the time frame. So the first one, exactly where it's at, that should be a support level. And then you have a good base at 44.5-ish, 44.4. And, of course, the base out of the whatever tizzy it had in May. But you have to put stops. Like if that May low goes away for whatever reason, I don't think it does it alone, but if that May low goes away, that's a shoulder to something pretty nasty. But the downside target of that is so low that it's the improbable scenario. So I would go long against that too. So it depends. If I'm selling long dated, I would hide behind somewhere around the 40 to sell a put. But if it's shorter term, I would get gutsier. But this is something I would do. I did that in skills when somebody said, oh, accounting for whatever. So when you see a good stock opportunity, and I'm not saying like the fundamentals are great now. This is a growth company. But it you can't deny the potential that it brings. You know,
it's got like the name, right? Like the name too. Like people think sports betting, you think DraftKings right away. It's the and first people, name you think about.
Once you start doing that stuff, you don't stop. So it's like coffee. It's a base from which you grow. It's not going to go back. So I think that the dips in this one within this environment. So that's the other thing you have to consider, the whole macro. So you can't go all in because the whole macro is extended. You mentioned earlier that Joel, that we're going to go red, right? So if you look at the ES 5 minute, it looks like a inverse cup and handle, head and shoulder ish. So if it loses 42.45, it could whoosh down to like 42.39, and people will freak out. But that, but that is watching ticks versus levels. So then they capitulate at 42.40, but 42.40 was yesterday's point of control. So this is where it's going to find support, and that's not the place to get out. You don't watch the ticks and react to them because that's what creates the FOMO. You bring your levels, you do your homework, you set your alerts, and you let that work for you. So when I set alerts on DraftKings, I have alerts, and I will get a beep as soon as the market opens because it hit my level. And it will say, start looking. That's what my note would tell me, start looking. Other notes at 40 or 41 would say, get long. Because at that point in time, I'm sure I'm going to be, you know, looking for a change of underwear because markets are going to be falling. But instead, I'll get this note to myself from myself saying, get long. So overcome your fear and do as you said to yourself you would do in the homework. So that's the only way you can trade these days with a bit of like instead of winging it. So you have to have a plan. You set the alerts. You act on your alerts if possible. And you reserve the right to change your mind. So, but everything starts with the overall picture. So how's the market? It's too extended. I'm not saying short it. You can't. Technically, it's an open air breakout. There's no reference points for the bears to shoot against. So there is risk upside. So you have to respect that. The gigacaps can take us to the moon. They haven't done much. And then you get the fact that, oh my gosh, we've been up so high. Yesterday, I put up a chart of the NASDAQ and I tried to... put a highlight of the dot-com bubble and the 08 debacles. I mean, you need like a telescope to see them.
And just talking about the mega caps here, Apple had that breakout yesterday. 24-day trading range. So, down 58 cents today. I mean, is it just a little, throwing a little head fake on us, or is Apple finally going to move?
I'm looking at Apple, and I think the two candles that matter most for this breakout here is May 7th and May 4th. They had the top of the red candles. If you look at the tails or the top of the body, you have two at the same place, which were support before. So if there was a bear stop zone, it would be somewhere around 131.15. That's where the bears could make a stance. Plus, if you look at the breakout neckline, this will be about the target of that inverse, whatever it was, that took it up there. Technically, from looking at the open interest, Apple does not have room to run from the open interest. So the market is not ready for it. So chances are it will be face resistance on the upside today into the rest of the week. And I have to tell you, I've never seen downside pressure in the open interest in the SPX as there is this week. So if there's ever to be a rug pull week from the open interest, this would be it. I'm just saying, making an observation. It's not a tradable thing. It's just a, hey, let's not get.
You're just saying you're seeing a lot of open interest. I mean, it's just because everyone is, you know, and overshot everyone's, you know, parameters. And the levers.
Well, if you assume that the market makers sell stuff to make markets and they don't lose money, they need a drop.
That's a good way to put it.
Nick Shaheen is the author of Create Income with the Option Spreads. You should all check out his newsletter. The link is up on the screen.
Yes.
So in the chat, and it's in the description of the video. Just scroll down, guys. Scroll down.
And there's somewhere on Benzinga Pro, there's a chat room for me somewhere.
Yes, exactly. Nick has his own chat in Benzinga Pro. Check
it out. You can come hassle me in there.
Yeah, it's called BZ Options in the chat widget. You can hang out with Nick all day or whenever he's there. Nick Shaheen.
I'm here all day.
Okay, great. Then you can hang out with Nick all day. Have a good one, Nick.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about this short report, guys. So Hindenburg is out. If there is a short selling firm that is hot right now.
Yes, good point.
It is Hindenburg. These guys had Nikola, they had Clover, they had Lordstown. Now, that's not to say they are always right, and it's not to say stocks always go down and stay down on their reports, because that is not the case. You can look at GrowGen, for example, which they had a report out last year. GrowGen is, well, significantly higher, right? So they're not always, it's not like Hindenburg comes out, stock always has to go down and stay down. But they are pretty hot. They're coming off a big win in Clover, Nikola, and Lordstown Motors. Unlike those reports, though, this report on DraftKings, it's not focused on the financials, right? They're not calling DraftKings a smoke and mirror. They're not saying it's all fraud. There's no there. They're not saying any of that. This is just related to the third party that was involved in their deal to go public, this Bulgarian-based company, SB Tech, which I've never heard of before just now. And they're saying this company, SB Tech, is basically a front for black market operations, dealings with the mafia. And then there was one little bullet in there about some other people in the industry have doubts about DraftKings' model, essentially just burning cash on marketing and hoping they earn it back later. But the main crux of this seems to be this SB Tech company, which DraftKings now owns, and their past dealings with organized crime and the black market and that sort of thing. So, and the fact that the stock is, I guess, expensive, has a high valuation. So
yeah, we know that.
Right. It's not quite the same kind of report where they basically said with Clover and Lordstown and Nikola, these guys are frauds. There was nothing here. With DraftKings, it's more like, they have a business. Some of their business is probably involved in some illegal stuff. So it's a different degree of allegation there. And that seems to be the main crux of the report.
This is just tough. You're catching the falling knife. I would say You know what? You broke out from 45, Joel. What's it do there first? Did it? Yep. Did we get down? How low do we get in the pre-market here?
We're you're right. We got into the 46 handle. Yeah. So 46.26.
It could have a date with 45. And does it bounce there the first time? I think it could. But again, you're trying to catch the falling knife. This is the hardest trading. Because when you get this kind of volume, this kind of momentum, this kind of fear, you know, it can too. And maybe they just shrug it off and they bounce right back and say, look, you know, growth tech has been, you know, coming back here. And this would be classified as growth tech. Yep. And here's an opportunity where we can buy the dip on a growth tech name from somebody that just has an opinion. So I think in the low 40s, I'd actually be interested in this in the low 40s. But 46, 47, kind of maybe early and in the middle of nowhere.
And I'll add this. We learned this with the Clover Health report that when Hindenburg comes out, they may not necessarily be short. In this case, they are. They are short DraftKings, and they said that.
They got some guts.
Yeah.
Like with everybody that's having it for short, you know, people who are shorting stocks are coming out saying, we are short this stock. We are knocking it down. Be interesting to see the Reddit response to something like this, like from some of the people who are talking about. Cause it seems like
we need
these public
one.
Shorts out there.
Yeah. This is a tough one. But you know, I think they caught it right. Right. Yeah. You know, you had to rebound off that 40 low. You got over 55, you know, coincided with this high here. A couple, you know, big red candles. People are, man, I got to get my money back between 50 and 55. So, you know, if they got it off here in the last 3, 4, 5 days, you know, big red candle yesterday, I don't think I'd be more interested if this could get back and hold 48. And that's just, you know, the mid-range here of this move from 40 to 56. So you mentioned the 45, but let's let it shake out today and maybe not try and pick a bomb. But if they're really going to shrug off this report, then it's gonna hold this low, get back, close over 48. Fill, what's the gap from yesterday? 50-41. That's what I'd be looking at in this one. They caught it right. I don't know what, you know, if they shorted it yesterday and covered it today. I don't know about that, but I don't know. It just needs a whole 48 for me to think it's going to go back and test that 56.
I'm more inclined to buy the dip than sell the dip on this.
Yeah.
I never like selling the dip, but you're off significantly. You got some news. I just don't want to be early. That's the only thing here. Like, I mean, I don't even know if they've talked about it on CNBC yet. So it's always the, you know, because you think, okay, I'm going to buy the dip, and then boom, they talk about it on CNBC.
And it's
like,
again.
Oh, because that's when the masses find out about it, you know, like they do. So, and you know, it'll get some attention. I haven't been watching Kramer here this morning to know if they've talked about it yet or not.
I don't think so.
They have not.
I think 40 to 45 is a buy zone for me on DraftKings. So you're getting there. That's just my opinion. I own Penn Gaming, which is probably getting hit on this too, I'd imagine, just in sympathy, which it is. But, you know, I've owned DraftKings a couple times, and I've played it down there before in the low 40s, and it's worked out for me. So I think there's a buy zone down there in the low 40s. I kind of like it down there if it was to get a little bit lower.
If you're going to talk DraftKings, you got to talk Penn too. There you go, Joel.
Yeah, I mean, I got it up there. I mean, it's hanging. I mean, it made the low for the move, but it just can't get like the legs that it had before. It's just kind of been in a trading range. I think was this 80 got up to 86. I mean, this didn't rally like the DraftKings did off the low. It just seemed just no interest in these right now. And I wonder if you think
casinos are having trouble too. Remember, Penn Gaming is not a pure bet on online sports betting. You know, they've got the physical casinos, they've got, you know, Barstool. So it's a different animal. Like, I know we just lump it up and say Penn, DraftKings, paired them together, and there is a pair trade to a certain extent, but they've got a lot of traditional casino operations in there too, and they've also got the wild card with the whole Barstool Sports, which I still like. Dave Portnoy, I bought this at $76, and maybe I should have, obviously hindsight capital, sold it at $86. It's coming back in now, but I don't know. I think I'm probably sticking with it for now.
I wonder how seasonal these stocks are, too. I mean,
seasonality plays in everything.
Yeah, and you know, you come off the Super Bowl, the NCAA championship. Now you just have the NBA. I don't know who bets on the NHL. You know, baseball's baseball. So, you know, I'm sure their volumes are down, you know, compared to, you know, the hype. You go the college football, pro football, and then you get right into college basketball, you know, college basketball, pro basketball. You know, there's a cycle, and now it's kind of like, you know, baseball. Like, I don't know, you can bet on baseball, but just, I don't think it's.
You got the NHL playoffs, but nobody seems to care about the NHL unless you're in Canada.
The Olympics.
There is some good NHL fans in the States too. I shouldn't say that, but I mean, Canada, we live and die hockey. It's like everybody who's making a bet on sports in Canada, it's a hockey bet.
That's true. So. All right, a couple minutes left. RCA asked what happened with your Corsair, Dennis.
I sold it. I did. I looked at it. I was like, when it was 37 and we were talking about it, I was like, I still like the story. It just got stupid. It went to 42.97. It was too much, too fast. And what Kramer was saying too is, and he made the good point, I don't know if we've made this point on it. It's like the Reddit stocks, a lot of them, the AMC and GameStop have held up well, but a lot of the other ones do not. It seems like there a lot of them have been one and done. I mean, we saw this MDLY the other day. It opened at the highs and tanked. We've seen this story play out before. Mitch is saying, I'm selling mine. He was saying on the show, I was like, I think I'm going to sell, you know, part of it. I was saying on the show, and I just looked at it and I was like, you know what? I sold half of it. And then I was like, you know what? I just turned around and sold the other half too. I sold out of 41. I averaged out of 41 and a quarter. And I just figured I'm going to get it back. And you know what? This comes back into 33. I'm going to rebuy the shares I just sold, and I just scalped $8. So I still like the company. It's come in quite a bit here now. I would love to get the stock back at 33. That would be, you know, that's, you know, where I, you know, that'd be a nice in on it. But, you know, this was the one I bought poorly, and Reddit bailed me out on it, really. So I'd bought this at $41 back in January, I think it was, and it went up for a while. You can see back in January, it went up to like 47, 48, but I liked the story and I stuck with it. It was one I obviously should have sold when growth came out of favor. You know, this got piled into that, even though it's a little bit of value in there too, because it's not a crazy valuation. But you know, it got piled in there and got hit. And then you get a 1 day bailout from, because they're talking about it on Reddit. So you get those Reddit bailouts on stuff that, you know, maybe you bought poorly. Maybe it's a good idea to lock, to get out. So I basically scratched the trade. You know, I bought a 41 and basically sold a 41, but I'm going to get a chance, I think, to get in a better price. I'm going to rebuy my shares if it gets down to 33 or 30, right in there. Fill the gap, kind of, Joel. Where would you rebuy your shares?
The gap. I mean, just wait for it to come back down to that gap area. I mean, you see it even with Microsoft, these other, you know, these issues. It may take a while, but those.
Yeah, it may not come right in. Filled.
Yep. So,
but right, it came along yesterday.
Holy, I got to hop. I'm going to hop over and cover all the tickers we missed on premarketprep.com. So we'll see everyone at 3:30. Have a good day.
All right, Dennis, any final thoughts from you, or are you out?
Same thing. It's where we're quiet in the overall market. I mean, we had a ripping rally in the last 10 minutes yesterday, maybe with some buy imbalances driving, and SPY ripped up, you know, basically entire day's range plus in the last half an hour. But this is a market that continues to just chop around. Don't chase. You get your prices. You get your chances. It is not paying to chase in these stocks. I know everybody on the Reddit stocks, and especially some of these big moves. Like when a stock's up 25, 30% because it's been mentioned on Reddit and because somebody started a thread on Reddit and the algos have picked it up, there doesn't seem to be a lot of follow through there. Kramer said it yesterday, and it's just such a good point. You know, AMC and GameStop are two of their own animals. They've held up well, but Bed Bath & Beyond was like the third big one to go, and it's given it all back now. You know, there's been a number of names that have, you know, not held up. Like Kramer's saying, they don't have the follow through, and it's kind of spot on. They haven't yet. You know, maybe they're eventually going to start ripping other ones and they're going to get follow through, but. So I'm using Reddit, but I'm using all of the stocks in general. It just hasn't paid to chase in this environment. Yeah. So be patient, have your price. I'm buying dips and selling rips. It's still a trading environment here, as opposed to, okay, yeah, you got to just buy, you know, even when we're breaking out, there's a breakout I'm going to buy. It's not really been the play to be buying the breakouts. It's been plays to be buying when nobody likes the stock. Like I was giving my example with U.S. Steel as well. I've bought it a few times when it's sold off $3-4. U.S. Steel comes back down to 24. I sold some shares at 28.30 yesterday. Comes back to 23, 24. I'm probably going to rebuy those shares I sold. So you can see it's just kind of a scalping environment.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to take a second, and Dennis, feel free to hop, but I do want to take a second to go over, speaking of Reddit, some of the resources that I use and some other people have been thinking news to sort of keep track of this stuff. Because we were talking about this on the pre-market show. Dennis was like, I go on Reddit to try to figure out what they're talking about, and I can't understand. There's nowhere to follow it, right? Even if you've been on Reddit for like a decade, like I have, it's impossible to follow what is going on there.
I went on yesterday and I was doing the same thing. I was on my cell phone. I'm trying to look, okay, well, what stocks are they talking about? Because, you know, I'm trading stuff and I'm seeing stuff moving. I'm like, where's this Corsair just come out of the blue 2 days ago?
Yeah.
And I see there's like threads on everything and they're talking about all kinds of different stocks and a lot of them aren't moving. So I'm like, how do you determine which one's going to be the next mover? So you have some tools here you want to share.
Yeah, there's a couple of tools that we've been using here that I've been using. For the first one, you may have heard, is Swaggy Stocks. These are both free, by the way. I'm giving these guys free promotion so they can give me a commission later. But Swaggy Stocks, you go to this Wall Street Bets tab, you go to ticker sentiment, there's a bunch of data here and they're keeping track. I don't know if this is real time, I don't know how often it's refreshed, but they are keeping track. So Mitch asked about Woof. Woof is here, right? It tracks volume of mentions on the subreddit. You can pull up different tickers and you can see the This is what's interesting too, is you can see the change in volume, right? Like what was the stock last week? Cleveland Cliffs, right? Where like all of a sudden, super randomly, is that even on? Yeah, it's still on here. So just like super randomly, on the 8th, just like a spike in mentions. See, this is why I think that there is some like hedge fund shadiness going on here. Because like, why is all of a sudden CLF getting a ton of mentions on Wall Street Bets for no?
Do those mentions, now let's bring it up and look, do they precede the move or are they just, you know, during the move? Like, is the stock chart, what day was that starting to get mentioned?
Right, so the yellow one, the yellow line there,
is the stock price.
Is the price.
Okay.
Okay. The blue chart is the volume. So maybe it's
you
a
you can see
it's a lag indicator. Yeah.
They start talking about it because it starts to move.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But you can see also the different colors is the difference. So it's mostly positive sentiment, right? And then at the top, of course, it turns negative. So this is a good one that I like. Check it out. You know, number of mentions you can see here. Another one that I actually like more than this is Quiver Quant. Okay. Let me scroll to the top here. So this one, these are both free. Quiver Quant, you have to like maybe I think make an account or something, but you go to the Wall Street Bets page on Quiver Quant and it tracks it's you know a different kind of graph, right? Different kind of chart, but it's the same principle. And you can track the volume of mentions on, and this is specifically Wall Street Bets. I want to add, there was like a dozen big subreddits on Reddit devoted to stocks. There's Super Stonk. Wall Street Bets is not the only one. It is just the largest one. It is where this movement kind of started. But as it happens with the movements, right, they get large enough and they eventually splinter out into their own factions. And that's what's happening on Reddit to an extent. But Wall Street Bets is still the origin of this movement, at least on social media. And so this is tracking Wall Street Bets, same thing as the other one, but in a different way, right? And I actually like this one more. It's got a little heat map here showing you the trend. Right. Yeah. It looks at industry, which I like, and short activity. You're right. And then the one I like is just straight up this one, last 24 hours. Right. And this is constantly refreshing. Last 24 hours, who has the most mentions? Right. So CLNE, Woof, Corsair, AMC, Wish is your top five in mentions over the last 24 hours. Again, this is quiverquant.com. The other one was swaggystocks.com. Both free. I have no relationship to any of these. I cannot vouch for this data. This is just what I've been using, right, to track this stuff. So there you
helpful.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, it's helpful because, like I said, I got lost on there. I'm trying to go on there. And, you know, time is valuable as a trader, too. I don't want to be sitting here trying to read. I'm missing other trades by like going through Reddit and trying to figure out what the next Reddit stock's going to be. And there, like I said, there's people that are just trying to get their stocks to move, so they're just starting threads.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're just randomly starting threads saying, oh, look, and they give their whole fundamental analysis of it all. And it's like, wow, they're just trying to get their stock to go up. You know, some of these people, and some of these people are doing very good research, you know, but, you know, there's definitely right. some of that going on. And the bots were actually, I guess, that like I was learning about Reddit last night, I was just on it. Like the moderators will take down certain yeah. threads if they're just so promotional that you can obviously tell somebody's just trying to pump their stock.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good that the mods are doing that.
Yeah, I mean, they it's obviously harder to moderate when you get super large, but a lot of these subreddits are automated where like if they'll just scrape for certain keywords and you're automatically blocked. If your account is 2 days old, they'll and you make a post.
Yeah, because it could just be some
right.
fund or somebody exactly. just trying to go pump exactly. their stuff.
Exactly. So the moderation is generally pretty good. not to say people don't get around it, and obviously everyone's trying to promote their stock, but generally pretty good, and they do their best to you know, cut through the noise. So those are two sites that I use. I put the links, it's in chat right now. I put both of them in chat, Swaggy Stocks and QuiverQuant.com. That's what I've been using. So we've been using Benzinga, because you can't go to these places, and you can't go there and expect to learn anything, because it's all just noise. It's all just noise.
There's a lot of noise. So yeah. Trying to cut through the noise.
Yeah. All right, Dennis, I missed you, man. I hope you had a good weekend, a good birthday.
That was good.
It's been a week since we spoke, if you can believe it. And I'll see you tomorrow, man.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. A couple other things. I know we didn't get some many tickers in chat. I wrote a bunch of them down, right? Somebody asked about Wish. Somebody asked about Roblox, Darden Restaurant, Airbnb, Neo. I wrote all that stuff down. I want to get to MSTR as well, because they had an offering. Seems like every day this company is doing an offering or like raising money just to buy more Bitcoin. Right, there's another headline last night. Right, they filed for a shelf offering, and this was the third offering in the last like couple weeks. They're just doing it to buy more Bitcoin. I don't understand this. Like, I in one sense, it's an investment, right? They're investing in themselves to an extent, right? Because their whole point is to just hold Bitcoin. But I don't. So they're raising. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, I get it, but like. I guess I don't understand what the long-term like ramifications of this are. It just seems to me that if Bitcoin ever crashes, MicroStrategy is going to crash the hardest, is what it would seem to me. Yeah, Mitch talked about this one last week as well. Good point, Mitch. Let me catch up on some other things here. So there was a few offerings, MSTR, Ping as well, P-I-N-G. They had an offering last night. Let's see here, 32 million shares via selling shareholders, so no dilution there. Stock down this morning. Other one that I saw was Vroom, VRM, And then someone asked about Uber. Uber, there was a thing with Uber, right? Yeah, it's the same thing. Offering via selling shareholders, so no dilution. Uber down this morning. Where's the, there was a chart. Uber down 2.5 this morning, nonetheless. 1.3 million shares being sold. Okay, what else did I want to catch up on before we hop off? Don't forget, everyone, Fed meeting starts today. We'll hear from Powell and all those guys tomorrow. It's Quad Witch Week. E3 wraps up today. And we'll be doing a live stream tonight to sort of wrap up the conference and probably do some gaming as well. If you're into gaming, you're into E3, check out our stream probably around 7 o'clock or so Eastern time. And we'll be recapping the whole conference. Microsoft had a big day. Xbox had a big day yesterday or on Sunday. And we'll talk all about that tonight. We'll talk about here, talk about Corsair, talk about all that stuff. A lot of big news. And then, yes, a few people mentioned Amazon. We talked about the rotation into big tech. Amazon Prime Day, is that like next week or it's 2 days, right? It's the 21st and 22nd. So that's next week. So we are getting there. So if you are looking to trade into an event, we have an event in the form of Prime Day in Amazon next week. Someone's asking about the URL for the other. It's swaggystocks.com, quiverquant.com. Spelled normally, guys. No crazy spelling there. I just put both the links in the other chat as well. And that's kind of it for me. What time is the Fed meeting? Well, the press conference is always at 2:30, right? The PR comes out at 2, and the press conference, I believe, is at 2:30. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I'm 99% sure that's always right. Hey, how many likes are we at today? Let's see if we can get to 500. I don't think we're there yet. Let me just check. We are at 325. Let's get to 500 likes. I know you guys miss me. I missed you. I was only out for one day, but I missed you guys. I think you missed me. Maybe you didn't miss me. I don't know. I listened to the show yesterday for like 5 minutes, and then I had to go get ready and catch a flight. But drop us a like if you haven't already. We appreciate that. Thanks to our guest today, Nick Shaheen. Again, Nick Shaheen has an options newsletter with Benzinga. The link is in the description, and you really should check it out. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But if you're into options, if you've been watching our show, you know Nick's been coming on our show for years and years and years. Nick predates me on this show. Okay, he's been coming on the show longer than I've been here, and I've been here for like 6 years. There's the link up on the screen, but it's in the chat. You can click on it there. Benzinga.com/premium/ideas/Benzinga-options. And then to Nick's point, let me show you all where to find Nick. Nick is in Benzinga Pro. You're in Benzinga Pro, right? There's our news feed, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Go to that chat thing on the left-hand side. You got your different channels here. By the way, there's the Benzinga TV channel. And scroll down. Boom. BZ Options. This is where Nick hangs out. You don't get enough Nick Shaheen? He's here all the time, right there in Benzinga Pro. If you're like, damn, how do I get here? Very simple. You go to pro.benzinga.com. There's the link up on the screen. Free two-week trials for everybody. Everybody gets a free two-week trial. No obligations, no credit card, no nothing. If you're like, oh, this is pretty cool, I'm interested in more. How do I learn more? Number one, you can email onboarding@benzinga.com. That is a that's what I would do probably. If you had a question, I would just go straight to the source, email those guys. Somebody on that team will get back to you within, I don't know, minutes, maybe, hopefully, maybe seconds. If you decide you want to get Benzinga Pro, then why not use this discount code? We put it up on the screen every so often. The code's up on the screen. YouTube 20, YouTube 20. That'll get you 20% off any Benzinga Pro subscription, whether it's a monthly, whether it's an annual. We have different tiers, get you access to different stuff. 20% regardless. YouTube 20. Again, pro.benzinga.com, onboarding@benzinga.com. Okay, what's coming up next here on the stream? We've got live trading at the open with David Green. At least I think we do. You guys know what happens when I'm out and I come back in. I don't know what's going on, but I believe David Green's coming on today. He's on my calendar, which if he's on my calendar, means he should come on. SPAC's Attack guys, they got another good one today. They're going to be interviewing Matthew Tuttle. If you've been listening to Pre-Market Prep long enough, you remember him from our show. But Matt Tuttle he's got the SPAC ETF, and then he's got the DSPAC ETF. And if you know me, you know I love ETF, so I will be definitely tuning in to hear Matt Tuttle talk about SPACs and SPAC ETFs. That'll be at 11:15 Eastern time today right here on youtube.com/BenzingaTV. We got the Power Hour, as always, at noon. Today we got Nancy Lurker. She's the CEO of EyePoint Pharmaceuticals, ticker EYPT. We got Get Technical. We got the BZ Crypto Show. We got Biotech Buzz, the At the Close Show. We got Cannabis Insider. After Hours with Ryan Rose Biondi. Then we're going to do our E3 recap after that. And I think I took care of all of the housekeeping on that front. Is there anything I missed in chat? Let me see here. I don't think there is. How is DraftKings doing? Let's just look at the chart. KNG. 1 minute. Okay. All right. Wow. So it hasn't really stopped yet. Okay. Obviously, a lot still to shake out at the open. DraftKings has not stopped. And let's look at Penn while we're here. Penn hasn't stopped either. A little bit. Okay. Interesting. Again, like, short report, you know, it speaks for itself. To me, a lot of the allegations, they're not, I don't want to say not as serious, but it's not in the same vein as, like, these guys are total frauds, right? They don't have a business. They don't have a product. That's not what this report is saying. That's what Hindenburg has alleged in other instances with certain electric car companies, but not here. They're just saying black market, illicit activity, the market doesn't know about it yet. So again, they're not saying Disney DraftKings has no business. To me, that makes this a little likely to come back. If it were me. You know, not serious is not the right term, not serious enough, but I don't know. Maybe like less implications. I think, come on, let's be honest, guys. If you're in sports betting, if you're in gaming at all, you know that there's got to be in some way, shape, or form some ties to illegal activities, right? Like that's like, I feel like that's par for the course. If you don't know that, then I don't know. That just seems normal to me. What can I? Yeah, isn't all betting mob related? That's exactly right. So that's what I thought. All betting is mob related. Anyway, I wrote down those tickers in the chat. We'll cover those throughout the day. If you want to hang out, ask David Green to look at your tickers at 9:25 whenever he starts. You can do that as well. Everyone, please remember all the information from our show, from all of our shows, actually, is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. And the views expressed do not represent those of Benzinga. Thanks to all of you in our chats. There is, of course, the YouTube chat. There is a chat on Twitch. There's people who engage with us on Twitter. There is a chat on Benzinga Pro. And there is a chat on Benzinga.com. We have way too many chats. I can't keep track of them all. I'm sorry if you feel neglected. The YouTube one is the most active, so that's where I spend most of my attention. Again, guys, drop us a like if you can. We're at 435. Ooh, I almost want to hang out just till we get to 500. 435 right now. Drop us a like if you can. If you haven't subscribed to Benzinga on YouTube, please do so. We appreciate that. We got 10 minutes before the open, so I'm going to hop off. Again, David Green is going to live trade the open, at least hopefully, in the next 5 minutes. I'm going to play some music, and then this stream will redirect straight to David Green, so you don't have to do anything on that front. Everyone, good luck today. Good luck at the open. I will see you a little bit later.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.